Pete Winkleman, not the best circumstances to be having a conversation. What are your emotions at the moment? How are you feeling?
Luke, it's been a really hard few days, to be honest. When I came to the ground on Saturday morning, I had no idea what the next 24 hours was going to bring. And it wasn't something we were expecting, but it was that game. I think it's already, that's how we all refer to it now, as that game. It wasn't just losing again at home. It was the manner of the defeat. I think when that third goal went in, everything changed. I saw Carl immediately after the game, and we just looked at each other, very emotional. And we both knew that something fundamental had changed. And you think, well, let's sleep on it. Let's have a real think, you know. And the trouble is, the next morning, you're feeling no better. And as the chairman of the football club, you have to react to that circumstance. Did I in a million years ever think that I would be in this position with Carl? No. I've worked so closely with him. I like him enormously. I gave a 29-year-old a job as a first-team manager of a League One club. And he's done some amazing things during his tenure. You know, I thought our game against Man United, where we saw the emergence of Dele Alli as a real prodigious talent, you know, one of the highlights, 4-0 here, never forget that. You know, getting promoted to the Championship. You know, ironically, that's that promotion that kind of changes the whole nature of the club. And now we come back to League One with this burden of now expectation that we need to be a Championship club. And to be honest, Luke, this club actually needs to be a Premiership club one day. I've built a Premier League stadium. Milton Keynes is going to be a top 10 city in the country, and we need to have a top 10 ambition. It's one thing thinking it, it's another thing delivering it, and obviously over the next few years we'll have to see how we can make that plan come to fruition. But where we can't be is 19th in League One. It's the lowest position we've ever been in since we've been in this stadium. We're going backwards, not forwards. And as chairman, I have to take the ultimate responsibility. So even when it's to somebody that I've just a brilliant working relationship with, football has its own rules, and it was a moment that caused change.
Was there any part of you that looked at some of the football in recent weeks? Because I think of the first half against Bristol Rovers. I thought some of the football was great. It was good to watch. Did that hold your decision back a little bit? Were you thinking, actually, there's a chance here? He's been a little bit unlucky. Some of the football's been good. We'll give him a chance. Did that make the decision more difficult?
Oh, yeah. I think, obviously, that there could have been more talk about all this kind of thing, given the position we're in and the amount of losses we'd had at home. But you've been watching the games yourselves, and, you know, you can see that in most of these games we were the better team. We lost for a myriad of reasons. But as I started to look at those things, it reminded me of last year. I remember the early part of the season last year, this time last year. We were losing games where we should have been winning them. We could have won them. We had the chances. We didn't take them. We go on to lose. And once you've got the culture of losing, the mindset of losing in a football team, it is really hard to get rid of it. And sometimes the only way to do that is to make the change. And that's where I thought we'd got to. As I say, for anybody in the stadium that day, they'll absolutely get what I'm saying. From the outside, I hope that people can see that, you know, I've not taken this decision lightly. It's not a knee-jerk reaction. At the same time, it's something that I really didn't want to do. It's not planned, and we absolutely need to try and make the right appointment now. This is in the season, not at the beginning of the season, where you can train and you can play with some pre-seasons and get a feel for what you're doing. This is right into the battle straight away. So I'm very conscious of the challenge that we've got, but also the opportunity that it presents.
We'll get on to obviously who's next, and obviously you're not going to give us names, but we'll maybe talk about the kind of manager you're looking for potentially. What about some of the criticism of you after this from fans, certainly that have contacted my programme, Pete, that have said actually Pete's to blame here a little bit as well, you know, hasn't given Carl enough tools to work with. How would you respond to that?
Well, again, I mean, there's always going to be things that people disagree about, especially after the event. I think that, you know, I've made sure that my managers, not just Carl, have always had 100% support from what we can do and how we can support them to be good. I think that, you know, you've seen some of the best managers in the world and teams in the world go backwards for no unknown reason, and even top managers lose their jobs for those reasons. This is football, and football doesn't come good because you're a really good guy or you work really hard, or you sometimes referee makes a decision and you lose a game. Sometimes your best player gets sent off or gets injured in the game. I mean, there are so many things you can't control. Football has its own rules and its own way of being. I absolutely know that it had to happen, and I'm very clear that people talk about the budgets that people have. We're a sustainable club. I've made no excuses for that, but at the same time, we're one of the biggest clubs in League One. We're one of the biggest clubs. We're spending double the budget we started out with in our promotion year. After the Delhi sale, of course, we ended up spending a lot more, but nothing near what we're spending this year. Last year, we were near the bottom of the wage spenders in the Championship, but so were Rotherham, so were Preston. Preston finished 12th on a very similar budget to us and came up at the same time. So whilst I don't want to abdicate any responsibility, I think I've taken that very firmly on the chin for the relegation last year. At the same time, I don't think it's fair to have excuses. I think we've got the same capability that we had when we were beating Man United and getting promoted. If anything, we've got more capability now, with bigger budgets now, and with more strength now. At the end of the day, football, it's a results business, and the results don't get good enough. You have to do something about it.
Can I be frank and honest with you, Pete, and clear something up that's being talked about? And I'm sure you're aware of it as well, because you've got your ear to the ground. You know what people are talking about inside and outside Stadium MK when it comes to Milton Keynes Dons. And the question mark is, Pete's son's in charge of recruitment. There's favouritism there. Is he doing the right job? Is he kept in the job just because he's Pete's son? I mean, let's lay the cards on the table. Those are the questions that are being asked, aren't they?
I just think it's amazing, to be honest. At our club, we're an English football club. We don't have technical directors and head coaches. I mean, it's one of the things, actually, we might consider at this moment. We don't. We have English managers. English managers are in charge of the football themselves. No player has ever been signed to this club by any manager that hasn't been the manager's signing. What the recruitment department did, and the recruitment department was really well set up by a former captain of the team that went on to do really, really well in recruitment in football. And the databases that he set up are the databases we still run today. Bobby's job, because we lost Paul, because obviously that knowledge and everything then goes out the door with him, although to be fair, Paul had set it up in a database, and that's what, as I say, we continue to manage. It was a very good idea to bring Bobby in to go looking at players and getting, because that knowledge then stays within the club. Bob's been involved in football all his life. He does probably 60,000 miles a year. He probably sees 5 games a week. He knows every agent, every other scout at every other major club, because they all meet at the games. He knows everything that's going on. And he's brought his lists, have brought some of the best players that we've had to this club over the years. Funnily enough, the actual reality is that we've made mistakes when we haven't signed to the list. And last year was a great example of, I would say, 85% of the players that we signed last year weren't on our recruitment list. Now, it's something that we've put more right this year, although, again, people we've signed this year, not all of them, were on our recruitment list. Now, in that recruitment list and some of those signings, there are successes and failures, but the successes are hugely outweigh the failures. And as I say, what Bob does is he reports market intelligence. So, as I say, I want to get rid of this complete thing that, we make decisions. I've never picked the team. I've never influenced, other than the amount of money people can spend on somebody, I've never had any other influence in the football, and nor has Bob. As I say, obviously, people trying to get at me will get at Bob. It's an easy hit. But what I can rely on, and what this club relies on, is probably one of the strongest databases in football, because instead of it being changed by somebody every year, as I say, Bobby's been doing it since Paul went in 2011.
Do you now look at the rest of this season, or do you say the next manager that comes in, is it, obviously he'll be for the rest of this season, but are you thinking further ahead than that? Because Carl, when he took over, and I know this was obviously not just Carl, I'm saying Carl and the whole team, the staff, you put a philosophy almost in place about the way that Milton Keynes Dons played football. Will that philosophy continue, or will a new manager come in?
Let's be really clear about that one as well, because Carl has developed a philosophy here, but that was a philosophy that was built on what Paul Ince did and what Roberto Di Matteo did, and to be honest, reflected what Mike Dove has been doing in the academy since day one. This philosophy of football, this putting talent and skill at the high on the agenda for our players is something that Mike Dove introduced.
So it starts at the very bottom.
It started at nine years old, and that's why you can get your Dele Allies and your Brendan Galloways and the 35 other internationals. Now, what Carl did really well is he is when you come out of the academy into the first team, that progression, that pathway is something that Carl was the first team manager here to recognise the importance of that pathway. So as I said, I don't want to belittle what Carl's done. He's given those opportunities in the first team with your job at risk if you're a manager and you're going to play a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old. So as I say, I don't want to take anything away from what Carl's done, but I want to remind everybody that the football philosophy, the take risks, the keep possession, the things that wind some of our players over, you the ball will come out from the back and it will be played out of the back. That has been going on since we started. That's why our players can go straight into a Premier League team and play, because that's the education that they've had. And we want to keep being that kind of football club. We cannot throw that out. We cannot go to suddenly say a completely different style.
So is that a question during the interview then for the next manager?
I think that the people that seriously want to manage our football club will know that before they even come in. I don't think it's something I'd even have to spell out. We have a very clear way of allowing our players to take risks. It comes back and haunts us.
Will that limit the managers that you can have, or do you think modern managers these days are adaptable?
Exactly. Well, I think what we're talking about is playing modern football. You know, what Carl's introduced in recent years is high pressing, and what we're seeing is Tottenham and Spurs. What we are is a reflection of the modern game. We're a young football club, and we want to play football like the big boys play. And we want to play the same style. We might not be able to play it with the same speed or the same accuracy or the stuff that the very, very top players in the world can play with. But I want our supporters to recognise that football. When Paul Ince came here and started to play some football, our supporters got into that. And then, of course, Roberto carried that on. Carl then really carried it on and made it a big deal. But at the same time, the way we play can be interpreted in many different ways. You know, Carl's interpreted the way we play in a certain way, and there's a massive spectrum for other people to interpret it differently. And I'll talk about, you look at the difference between how Chelsea are playing and how Spurs are playing, or how Bournemouth are playing and how Liverpool are playing. They're all playing a similar kind of football, but they're all doing it completely differently, making certain things more important than other things in the way they present. And that's the opportunity for our manager, but not suddenly to turn our team into a long ball or whatever it might be. We want to play football. We want people that come to this ground to recognise from the telly the football that they're watching.
Have you interviewed anyone yet?
No.
How does it work, Pete? Have you had CVs sent to you? Have you got phone calls?
Luke, to be honest, to be fair, we've always had lots of people go for our jobs in the past, and some amazing people in the past as well. And people that maybe afterwards you regret, maybe I should have given them a go. You can say all of that kind of stuff. This time it's really ridiculous because it's much more, it's kind of worldwide, as people from everywhere. And how does it work? It's usually agents. So, one of the agents will phone you up and will give you six managers, out of the 38 managers that they represent or whatever. You know what I mean? And because they won't give you all 38. They'll work out of that what might you be interested in. And so they'll narrow it down. Even with all these people narrowing it down, it's probably, and I don't think I'm exaggerating if I say it's probably around 200, that kind of amount of names. Loads of people I've not even heard of, to be ever so honest with you. But look like, well, who's that? Ooh, what do they do? And, I think this time we've got to listen to the market and let's have a look at what we've got. There's a few ways we can go. If I had the beginning of the season, I'd be much more likely to do what we normally do, which is try and find somebody new, somebody exciting, somebody that can use the very strong backroom team that I have here at the club and become a manager. We've had great success with that, from Paul Ince to Roberto to Carl. You know, that's the way that we'd like to try and do it. The difference now is that we're in the season. And we're in trouble. We're 19th in the table. Despite having the best team, too good to go, to all of these things that you hear, we're 19th in the table. And that's absolutely not acceptable. So I need to choose somebody that we can believe can turn that around, can, as you say, fit in with the way that we want to try and be, and try and find the way of taking it forward. I think Carl's left people with a good structure and a good base of team. They might come in and as I say, typical thing of how recruitment work, and say, actually, I need a this player and I need a that player, and you don't have that plan B, and we want to put that in place. And then we would go to our database and we would go, whoop, there's four players for that, whoop, there's, and then we'd all discuss it, all have a chat, and then the manager makes it, and the manager signs the player. If we've gone technical director and head coach, I'm not saying we will, I'm just saying that for the first time that's something that we might consider. Then obviously it'd be the technical director's decision on what players would be happening in January. But again, I'd be very surprised if they didn't just work with our database, maybe find some different ways, improve or whatever. But that is, as I say, it's one of the best in football. So
there'll be money in January, won't there? Because obviously there wasn't money spent in summer. There was transfers that were going to come in that didn't.
There was people that were going to come in. I mean, we're spending, look, just to put us in perspective, I think we're probably the third biggest wage bill in the division, and those are from clubs. The only clubs bigger than us in this league are clubs that shouldn't be in this league, like Sheffield United that we play on Saturday. How on earth are Sheffield United in League One? You know, Charlton are there with a big budget and Bolton are there with a big budget. Then it's probably us. And I'm not quite sure on what they're taking. And we are, as I say, at twice the budget we started our promotion season with. You know, we've got players on wages this year that are higher than our championship wages.
So new manager will have money to spend?
Yes. I mean, the new manager will have to come to us, being a new manager, with the plan of what they want to do. And that might include having to spend more money, yes.
Would that plan come before they get employed? I mean, is that all part of the process?
Yeah, I would expect any manager to be coming with me to me and telling me what he would expect to do. I would expect that a manager that we would appoint would know what our team is, would know the strengths and weaknesses of our team. And to be fair, you know, the top managers do. The top manager will come with their PowerPoints of, here's your weaknesses, here's how you play against you, this is what I'm going to do to stop it, this is, you know, and these are the kind of players that I might be thinking about. It's more about, as I say, what are you trying to do with your team, and that determines your recruitment. It's not just about another winger or it's a good player that went there. It's about what works into your team. And as I say, what we're trying to do and what the new manager will be able to do is give a real thought to that, you know, and I think that hopefully can make some difference.
Just one more from me, Pete. Will Richie be in charge against Sheffield United? Are you planning to put somebody in before the game on Saturday?
No,
will
very, Richie be in charge? Very grateful.
Is Richie
to Richie
the kind of player that could be in line to take over?
You know, I think that if Richie wanted the job and he thought about it, and then what gang he might gang up with somebody, and they might come up with a plan, and you know, the job is open to anybody. I think it's unfair of Richie to say, come on, take the team, and whatever you do doesn't have an influence. You know, I think we all might have another look at Richie goes to Sheffield United and starts winning, because it's actually about results at this point. We know we've got some good players, we know what we want to do, can we get some results? What I'm really pleased with Richie, it was his professionalism. He's got great respect for Carl. He loves Carl to death. But when I asked him whether he'd be up for looking after the team this week, when I didn't, I had to be honest with you, I didn't know what the end result would all mean. His reaction was so professional. If you need me for a day, a week, a month, I'm here to do the best I can for the football club. And, you know, that's what's the nice part about football. And this is in somebody who has got a cloud hanging over him now, and he's still out there, actually, at this moment, preparing the team. So we've got good people. Our backroom is actually red hot, and that's why I'm not going to over panic. I'm not going to over worry. Instead of it being a challenge, I want it to be an opportunity, and I want to take my time a little bit. So I don't imagine even moving into interviews until next week, and then obviously dependent that process, if somebody blows me away, then I can give them the job, and that's what I'd like somebody to do. I'd like to get really excited about somebody, because I think we need to all feel a bit excited to get ourselves out of the mess that we're in. And I'm not writing this season off, but I don't think that we can be arrogant enough to think we can go and do something this season. We've given ourselves such a bad start. There is always a team. You know, every 5 years, a team goes from Christmas doing badly to getting promoted. The trouble is that once every 5 years happened last season with Barnsley. So it would be against the law of averages for us to do it twice, 2 years on the trot, you know, if it's to happen 2 years on the trot. But I would like to think that a manager coming in here will have an ambition to try and make, to try and achieve that. I don't want to write the season off. There's still two-thirds of the games to go. And I still believe we've got a very talented, a very strong squad. It won't need much tinkering to be able to make it very competitive. It's really about a winning mentality. What we really need to rediscover is how to win football games. And as we've seen, even in the last couple of games, our team's forgotten how to do that.